no doubt that the walls of the Beis Medrash just couldn't be without us. So they called us back, to be able to be back in Schenck. We don't have a microphone, that's the problem. Can you still hear me, Ms. Dolter? Not terribly well. Okay, I'll move you up. Okay. Okay, without further ado, let's see if we can put together some of the final pieces of the previous sugya. Oh, I forgot, we're starting a new sugya. Okay, it's a new sugya, old sugya, whatever you want to call it. So, of course, we've been spending a lot of time focusing on the principle of Birchas HaMitzvos, and particularly about the issue of Ovel HaSiyason, and we are far from over, no pun intended, with the sugya of Ovel HaSiyason, but we are going to pick up on one nekuda that came up as part of the Lulav Sukkah saga. And the Gemara quotes, it seems to be almost the same braisa, or very similar braisas, about the recitation of the bracha, both for Lulav and Sukkah, and particularly in terms of the Lashon, in terms of the Al, and the Le, and the Ovel HaSiyason, etc. And the Gemara quotes actually the less controversial of the two. The Lulav part was very controversial, and we still haven't even resolved that totally. But the Sukkah part seems to be pretty simple. Nichlas l'sukkah, mevarech l'eshev l'sukkah, finish, gemarnu. You recite a bracha l'eshev l'sukkah, doesn't seem to be problematic. It seems to be just a regular, plain, simple Ovel HaSiyason. Before you yaitse the mitzvah sukkah, you have to recite a bracha. The mitzvah of the bracha, therefore, is leishev l'chaladei. So it sounds like really a no-brainer, the bracha leishev l'sukkah. Nevertheless, the Rishonim had a major, major controversy about just exactly how tachlis this bracha of leishev l'sukkah plays out. Machlokes in the Rambam and the Rosh. So the Rambam was very, very machbid into Ovel HaSiyason. Not surprising that the Rambam took such a strong attitude towards Ovel HaSiyason, as we pointed out already in the past, as we're going to see off of Beit Hashem and Sukkis coming up. The Rambam was probably the biggest machbid in Ovel HaSiyason. He held that we're never going to be mevatel in Ovel HaSiyason, almost never, except for maybe the mitzvot Adam Shachos, but and maybe Lulav. But putting aside those, the Rambam was chaytul yava ish lahava that it has to be Ovel HaSiyason. And therefore the Rambam says you have to be very, very careful when you recite the bracha leishev b'sukkah, not to goof, not to be yetzer the mitzvah first before the bracha. Now truth to be told, the Rambam says, in Uchas Brachas, if by some chance you goofed in sukkah, it's not the end of the world. Because sukkah happens to be, by golly, one of those mitzvahs, which are the mitzvahs ha-nimshachas, the tzitzis, tefillin, sukkah, trio that we spoke a little bit about yesterday. So if you goofed, says the Rambam, and you didn't follow my directions carefully, so alright, no, the world's not going to come to an end, you can still make leishev b'sukkah afterwards. But if you want to set up your strategy, the proper strategy, how to be noyeg on Sukkot night, here it is, says the Rambam. You know what the rule is? Don't sit down, at least not till after you finish your bracha. The worst thing you could do, says the Rambam, in the sukkah is to sit in the sukkah. Why is the Rambam so anti-sitting in the sukkah before the bracha? It sounds like the Rambam is making a big fuss out of the words leishev b'sukkah, which come right out of the Potzer Chumash, b'sukkah's teishvu, shivas yom. So it sounds like the Rambam is almost translating teishvu and leishev is to sit. And therefore the Rambam says you have to turn the world upside down and make sure you chap around that bracha of leishev b'sukkah before you dare and get into your seat and the sukkah. And again, if you goofed and you did it, Zolzayim, we'll let you make the bracha afterwards as the booby prize. But lechad chila, that's not the way to do things. You have to make sure to proceed, the bracha must proceed the leshiva, which is according to the Rambam, the literally sitting down on your chair. It is because of this understanding of the Rambam that the Rambam had to do a somersault now in terms of how to recite Kiddush. Because the Gemara tells us at the end of Masechet Sukkah that the leishev b'sukkah is going to be part of Kiddush. It's going to be actually the end of Kiddush. And therefore the Rambam says, based on my cheshbin, that you cannot possibly sit down until after the bracha is recited. So it's muvon me'elov, says the Rambam, that you have to be standing for Kiddush when you make Kiddush on Sukkah's night. Because umarshim. Chazal say explicitly at the end of Sukkah, the leishev b'sukkah is at the end of Kiddush. If you sit down first, then you ruined your lechatchil gim of Ovel HaSiyason. So the Rambam put two and two together and said, "Afkarchok, leis breira, you have to make kiddush standing up on Sukkot night." Okay, now you know me as a this may sound strange. We come from Chassidish Stock, you know, from Minnik, from Poland. So my father made kiddush standing. My grandfather made kiddush. My great grandfather made kiddush standing. every Friday night, every Yom Tov night. So this Rambam is not going to get too much excitement out of the Sobolovskis. But the Rambam is addressing those people who, the hardcore Litvaks, the hardcore Misnagdim, who sit for Kiddush on a regular Friday night and a regular Yom Tov night. Why do they sit for Kiddush? Why do they sit for Kiddush? So there are actually two potential halachic reasons to prefer sitting for Kiddush. One is an issue in terms of Machas Brachos. That's the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. When the Gemara talks about the possibility of being mighty somebody else in the Brachos HaNehanin, so even though technically speaking I can be mighty somebody in Brachos HaNehanin, provided that I'm eating or drinking with them, Kiddush actually is an exception to the rule. I can even be mighty them in Brachos HaNehanin, even if I'm not drinking with them. That's the quirk, because the Bar Piyagofen of Kiddush becomes like the Brachos HaMitzvah, but that's another story, not for now. The Gemara says in Brachos that when you might see somebody else in Brachos HaNehanin, it doesn't work with the absolute regular rules of Shamei HaKohenah. You require to have a Kviyas Biyachad. You require to have a Chabura Biyachad. You have to join together. By Brachos HaMitzvah, so Pashas is there is no such halacha. Pashas is, I can scream from one end of the room to the other, and as long as you hear me, you answer amen and finish Gemara. But when it comes to Birch Zenenin, so for some deep dark secret, Chazal instituted that there has to be a Chabur B'Yachad. Vos Ben Chabur B'Yachad. So Gemara says, Chabur B'Yachad means what the Olam defines as being grouped together, being brought together. What's the definition of the Olam to be brought together? What's called a Chabur B'Yachad? Halayl Hazeh Kuran Mesubin. Haseim. That's the ultimate grouping together. When people come join together for a meal and they're all reclining and they're, you know, sitting in their comfortable positions and spilling the wine and the kittles, that's I'll say, but that's a chabur biyachad. And then echad meitzi sidei chaveiro bebirchas enen. If it's just yeshiva, they're just sitting together at attention in the hard back chairs. So that's they're already 1 foot out the door. Haseib, when you're ready laying down, you don't lay down on your couch to eat unless you're there to stay. You sit down for a second, you're up, you're out the door ready. Das is nishkei in a chabur biyachad. So we did it the Gemara. The only time you can really be mighty somebody b'chus enen is only derech haseib. So Tosfos has a comment in Maseches Brachos that yeshiva didan is haseib didudan. We don't do haseib all the time. It's not normal for us to do haseib. Who remembers which Rishon picked up on that on the Lal HaSeder? Who remembers?
Rav Yoh.
That was the Rav Yoh. That's why the Rav Yoh said that you don't even have to do a Seder b'zman hazeh, the Seder either, because you don't accomplish anything. And that's, we disagree with that. Not for now. So Tosfos writes in Brachos that we who never do a Seder anymore. It's not our culture to do a Seder now. So for us, we can accomplish the same Chabur B'Yachad with the yeshiva also. Because when people sit down to the table, that means for us, they're there to stay. In the olden days, when you had the option of doing a seibah or option of doing a yeshiva, and you chose to really do a yeshiva, that's a sign that you're out the door. You're not staying at this meal for very long. But b'zman hazeh, we don't have the option of a seibah, so yeshiva is good enough. But says Tosfos, what's still no good even for us? Amida? You're just standing together, or spazzing around the room, that's just like a chabura. And you can't be might see one another, derech amida. So for this, the Tosfos has the kasha, but the olam is noyek to stand for kiddush. People don't necessarily sit together for Kiddush. So how can I be mighty my wife, my kids with the bracha, but pay a golf, and they're going to drink from the wine if everybody's standing? So Tosfos says, no, Kiddush is different. Why is Kiddush different? Because Kiddush, of course everybody's here together. It's not like some, just a burpee, a golf in the middle of nowhere. It's a Kiddush, everyone's together. It's Friday night, the candles are lit, we say Shalom Aleichem, Mishas Chag, give the kids a break. Everybody's at attention, everyone's standing together. Right? Isn't this happening in your houses on Friday night? Nobody's walking around. The mother's not in the kitchen. The kids are not fighting in the other room. This one's tossing a ball over here. This one's out the door. This one's still sleeping. This one's reading the newspaper. Isn't that what happens in every Jewish home on Friday night? So everyone's together. Biyachad. So Zach Tais says, Mida didan b'shas kiddush is like haseba didu. So the same way that Tais has whittled down and said that, you don't really need haseba. Haseba is not halach moshe mesina. Haseba is just a reflection of what's called the kviyas yachad. Pizach could change according to the time and place, and it can even change according to the day of the week. So, okay, so we can be mulam mitzchos and aminig, those who have this, the chassidish aminig, the galtziyan aminig, that we stand for Kiddush. It's the nishkefelach. But there were gedolei havishayim who didn't like this, who said we should do the right thing, we should not sit for Kiddush. Then you had nuances of minhagim. Why doesn't everybody just sit for Kiddush? What's the big deal? Why do you run to stand for Kiddush? The answer is because there's something that's that's spurring us on to stand for Kiddush. We like the idea of standing for Kiddush. What do we like about standing for Kiddush? Because Kiddush, especially on Friday night, Shtibu HaGodes Eidus, the person says, V'chul, it's Kiddush, V'meir, Shemayim V'oretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, D'ber, Shemayim V'oretz. So V'omdush Teh HaNoshim, you're supposed to say Eidus, V'amid, and not Yeshiva. So you have this almost like this tug of war in these two halacha concepts pulling around at you. On the one hand, pure Hilchus Brachas dictates it's probably better to sit. We can fend for Hilchus Brachas. We can be miyash in the minute, no pun intended, be miyash in the minute of sitting. Hilchus Eidus indicates we should stand. I mean, come on, it's not real Eidus. Come on, it's not a joke. It's not a real Beis Din here. It's not a real Eidus. It's just Ka'ein, that idea of Amida. So that's where you find different Menachem and Klal Yisrael. There are some who say, listen, we don't really have to sit. Taizer had explained to us there's no real need to sit. Let's stand for the entire Kiddush B'chil V'Yatzai. That's what many, many people do, today myself included. There are others who are real sticklers for yeshiva. You gotta sit. Sure, sit. The others who say, listen, let's stand for Vayichulu, because that's not going to say this. And then we get to Bar Bimafin, we'll sit down. So a great, wonderful minig. It's a gewaltig minig, the middle minig. Provided that you're not in a place with 500 people. You're in a place with 500 people at a Shabbaton, you're in camp or something, and 500 chairs are rattling. By the time the rattling is over, usually the person has already finished B'kaddish Shabbos, and no one was yet even B'dievet, because nobody heard a thing. So you have to be careful. You follow that minute of standing and sitting, you gotta wait for a good 20 minutes before you can begin to recite the Kiddush. Anyway, so getting back to our story. So, the Rambam... Ram on a regular Friday night, a regular Yantif night, would have preferred to recite Kiddush sitting down. But his hands are tied on the Sukkah. Because the Rambam had this unique understanding that you must recite Alei Shiva Sukkah before you do a yeshiva, therefore Alei's Breira, Chayav the Kaddish Be'umar. As I stated in Shulchan Aruch LaRambam, Shulchan Aruch calls to the Rambam, the Kaddish Be'umar, according to Shittas HaRambam. So the Rosh took a very, very serious issue with the Rambam. He says, I don't understand the Rambam. I really don't understand the Rambam. Do you think that the word Basukas Teshvu means to sit in a chair? That's the taich in Basukas Teshvu. Says the Rosh. And what if you're at a Kiddush? Okay, he doesn't say it at all. What if you're at a Kiddush? And everyone's milling around in the Sukkah. And I'm eating under, well, I can't make a leish of a Sukkah. It's a joke. What are you making a leish of a Sukkah for? What does the word yeshiva mean, Rabbi Say? There's a famous Gemara, the beginning of Masechus Megillah. The Gemara says that the one pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu was Emid Bahar, and the other pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayeshiv Bahar. So what was he, standing or sitting? So the Gemara's fascinating answer to this kasha. So the concluding answer to the Gemara is Ein yeshiva loshen akova. Yeshiva doesn't mean to sit on a chair. Yeshiva means to be present, to be there, to be. He was on Har Sinai. This is Yeshiva Bahar. So the Rosh says he doesn't understand what the Rambam is making such a tumult about, such a tzimmus about the word leishev. Leishev means to be in the sukkah. Says the Rosh, if the Rambam really wanted to be a stickler for making the bracha before the mitzvah begins at all, you know what the Rambam should have said before he walked into the sukkah. You should be standing by the door of the sukkah, and then walk in the sukkah. That sounds like the Rosh would have made sense. That would have been something to it. But the Rambam doesn't say that. So says the Rosh, just to arbitrarily say you gotta turn the world upside down before you sit down on a chair. I think that's a little bit too much emphasis on the literal translation of yeshiva, which is not really the correct interpretation. So what's made yeshiva? Yeshiva means being in the sukkah. So when should you make the bracha? So the Rosh says, it would appear to him that what's the main thing that we do in the sukkah? What's the most important thing that we do in the sukkah? So we know, the Mishnah tells us, that there are certain activities that must be done in the sukkah. Which activities must be done in the sukkah? How do you know which activities have to be done in the sukkah? So Tosfos writes, it all revolves around the word yeshiva, sukkah teshuva. But not the word teshvu of the Rambam of sitting on a chair, and not even the rush of akava, of being in the sukkah. Teshvu is a lashon dira. And apparently what the Torah is telling us is that basukas taduru shivas yom. Teshvu ke'ein taduru. There's a state in halacha mashu sidra, teshvu ke'ein taduru. That's how you know that mitzvah is part of a sukkah. That's how you know, according to Pashas in halacha, yaradu g'shamim part of a sukkah. That's how you know the Gemara says in Sukkah B'Ferish, in trying to put your nice dishes as best as you can in the Sukkah. Try to replicate your house, you know, as much as you can. So comes the Rosh and says that the Mishnah tells us that the two activities that must chaykul al-ya'ava be done in the Sukkah are achila and sheina. Because those are the activities that you always do in your house. Why does a person own a house? Ask yourself that question. We spend so much money on a house. What do they tell you? That an average person spends, as a rake, must spend about a third of all your expenses should be your rent. Is that some number like that? Some approximate number like that? But again, you spend a third of your money on rent for what in your house for? 95% of the time, not even in my house. What do I need a house for? The answer is you need a house for two activities. You need a house to sleep, and you need a house to eat. That's it. Again, it's true, you can grab a little, you can grab a little fruit here and there on the run, you can grab an ice cream on the run, it's true. But when you want to sit down and have a dinner, you want to have your Shabbos meals, you want to sit down and eat supper at night, you know, you're going to walk around the street carrying your salad, carrying your bowl of soup, come on. So you need a place, you need a mokum. So you need a house, primarily for achila and for sheina. That's exactly what Tesis writes. That's what the din is, that eichan aroi chutz l'sukkah. What is it you're allowed to take a little nash out of the sukkah? You're not allowed to have a real meal out of the sukkah. You're allowed to have a nash out of the sukkah. Why is that? So Tesis writes, because it's darker shaloylam that on a regular weekday, not on sukkahs, people nash out of the houses. Guy grabs a bag of potato chips on the run. Guy's grabbing an apple on the run. Guy's going to drink a can of soda on the run. But a person doesn't sit down and have a zak via suda on the run. So now you have to figure out what's called, you know, what kind of things do people eat on the run, the kind of things people not eat on the run. So in classic Poskim, they all work with the Mahalach, that there were certain standards that Chazal were describing, that were the standards of the Olam, and those standards somehow bind in the Olam board. Whatever the standards of Kviya Suda was, when it was Bama and Torah, that's somehow the Klum that we use. So on this question, why is that true? We know in Halacha, a lot of things change. The Halacha doesn't change, but the Metzias changes very often, and then the Halacha in turn has to respond to a change in Metzias. Many people don't understand that. Many people have a very, very misconception of what it means to change in halacha. Of course things change in halacha because the world is different. The metzias changes. It doesn't mean that halacha changes. It's that there are different halachas that have to be plugged into different metziases. So over here, some wanted to argue that the din is not halacha moshe mesinai l'moshe mezoinus versus hadama versus shahakol. That's not the din. The din is things that people eat in the house versus people things that people eat on the run. So Bizman Hazeh, if you would see a guy eating two cookies, eating a muffin on the run, would you think he's crazy? I don't think he's crazy. People eat muffins on the run. If you saw a guy sitting, walking around the street, okay, not in Washington Heights 185th Street, so a regular guy in a regular normal place, I didn't mean to say we're not abnormal here, but I think you understand me. If you'd see a guy sitting down, mamash in the middle of the street, doing the following. He has a bowl of soup, but he won't put any croutons in because it's mezoinus. It's a bowl of soup, and he's got a whole salad, and he's got a big piece of chicken, and he's got a bowl of chulid, but he's cutting down the barley. Less than a kibbutz of barley, so it shouldn't be a shalom mezoinus. And he's probably screaming, and he's eating a 16-course meal, walking around the street. What do you say about a guy like that? Come a sugar now. So that's what some place can ask. Ben the kula, ben the chumra. Maybe bizman hazeh, the hagadara we should use is not so much the official klolim that appear in the Rishonim, based on the Gemara, is about mezoinus versus shakol versus this. It should change a little bit. The klolim should change a little bit. So that idea was suggested, but Umaisa Mishabur doesn't call that. Mishabur is not mesiches to that. Mishabur goes with the regular conventional wisdom that there are certain foods that are objectively considered to be kviyastik of foods and some not. So again, you learn the sukkah, you got to try to work out the details of that. But the bottom line is, Hayetzibir Advarim, clearly achila is the main component of the mitzvah sukkah. Therefore, the Rosh argues. But Chazal and Misaki in the Barach of Leishiva Sukkah, they were Misaki in the Barach of the Iko Yeshiva Sasukkah. And the Iko Yeshiva Sasukkah, which is not negotiable, is achila. And therefore, says the Rosh, we have no qualms walking into the sukkah. We don't even have any qualms sitting down in the sukkah, because Beinainus is the Rosh, sitting is any more significant than standing. What we want to make sure happens is that the Leishiva Sukkah is made before the eating begins. Before you commence eating your food that's chayv in the sukkah, that is the right time to recite Leishiva Sukkah. So unlike the Rambam, who has Yalesha B'Sukkah connected somehow to the Maisa Yeshiva, and therefore the Rambam says, don't you dare sit down on your chair until you finish Yalesha B'Sukkah, and therefore you got to stand for Kiddush. The Rambam says, not be done. Sit for Kiddush, because at the height, sit down the Sukkah, learn for 10 minutes first. The food's not ready anyway. And then, when you're ready to make Kiddush, and you're ready to begin the Suda, then you make sure you get your Chat Yalesha B'Sukkah before you begin your Suda. That's the Shita of Rosh. The Beit Shemachayis the Rambam the Rosh. What is the optimal way of planning out this Leishim B'Sukkah in light of the Dinim of Avolas Yosef? According to the Rambam, the yeshiva on the chair is the key. According to the Rosh, the Achila is the key. They say within this idea of the Rosh that we are okay to sit down. We're not going to lose too much sleep over sitting down in the sukkah before Leishim B'Sukkah was recited. There is still a further question within that non-Rambam approach. Do we still try to do whatever we can, if possible, to get the Leishim B'Sukkah as close to the yeshiva as possible? Or do we say the yeshiva is mamish kavanda leisa? The yeshiva is completely irrelevant, completely non-existent. It means just keep your eyes on the ball, achila, 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 forget yeshiva. Yeshiva is doesn't make the slightest bit of difference where and when the yeshiva was. Well, do we say no? That we're not going to go as far as the Rambam to put any real significance to yeshiva to be the main, to be the, you know, the make it or break it. We're really eyes on achila, but liyesus eis, if we can chop around that the brach is closer to yeshiva, so matoy v'manoyim. So this again, this is within non-Rambam. According to the Rambam, what are we talking about? According to the Rambam, avadi yeshiva is chayk v'leyava. You got to get the bracha before you sit down in the chair. Again, but the evidence, even according to the Rambam, you're good to go. Put the mitzvah in mshachas. But lechatchil, the correct way to structure your bracha is pre-yeshiva, and the Rosh disagrees. Within the Rosh, is there still something to be gained by somehow being semich the bracha chach a little bit to the yeshiva if at all possible? Or does yeshiva mamash kabul yirim? So the Rosh quotes the machlekes that he had with his own Rebbe. The Rebbeinu Meir, the Mamre Rutenberg. The Mamre Rutenberg had many, many, many choshev and tamidim, and his tamidim really, really set the stage for pretty much, you know, most of us Ashkenazim. So the entire Ashkenazi tradition that we have pretty much goes back through the, was funneled through the world of Mamre Rutenberg. The Mamre Rutenberg's three of his great tamidim, one was the Rosh, one was the Mordechai, and one was the Agos Maimini. Those are three of the greatest Ashkenazi Tamid Chacham of that Kufa, and from then, you know, pretty much we have Arayi Emezeh. So the Maharam Rutenberg, Rabbeinu Meir Ben Rutenberg, had a practice. Let's say on Chol HaMoed, not on Yom Tov night, but there's a Kiddush issue. Right on Chol HaMoed, he's going to go into the Sukkah. He's going to make a Moitzi. He's going to have a Suda. When should his Leishim B'Sukkah take place? According to the Rambam, Leishim B'Sukkah, before you sit down, no matter what, before you sit down. But according to the Rosh and the Mam Rutenberg also, that sitting down is not so important, when is the best time to time the Leishim B'Sukkah? So says the Mam Rutenberg, I would like to get the Leishim B'Sukkah in, the Bruch in, as close as possible to when you sat down. I'm not going to turn the world upside down to make it precede the sitting down, but I'd like it to be as close to the sitting down as possible. It's really not right to have too much of a hefsek, if at all possible. And therefore, so what do? According to Rabbi Rutenberg, I washed. I walk into the sukkah with the mechala. I sit down in the sukkah. I'm sitting on my chair. The first words out of my mouth should be what? Hint, not a shpizim. What's the first words out of my mouth? Leishim B'Sukkah. I'm sitting in the sukkah, come on, the gemara dick, great. And then what should I do? I should make a mitzvah like what else, I take a bite. So you take the mamre to me. You also gained a little bit by doing that. What do you marviyah kind of on the side by doing that? Yeah, even you get that motzi leading you right into eating, you don't have to have that almost like, you know, potential yellow flag of a possible hefsek issue. So according to Rabbi Rutenberg, we really, really, we're keeping kind of like, you know, in a rear view mirror, we're still looking back at the yeshiva. You know, we're past yeshiva, we're not Rambam. Rabbi Rutenberg was not a Rambam person. But we're still keeping our eyes best as possible. Maybe we can give a little bit of significance back to the yeshiva and keep the bracha of the Shmesuk as close to it as possible. That was the Maamar Rav's practice. So the Rosh says, no. The Rosh says, what are you doing that for? The Rosh says, make the bracha of Hamaiti first. And then after the Hamaiti, make the Shmesuk. So what are you gaining? What are you, honey, like? To make the Leishim Mesukah first. We forgot about the yeshiva. We don't care about the yeshiva. Forget. We're more focusing on the achila. So the Leishim Mesukah should be closer to the achila than to the yeshiva. It's a hefsek. That's not a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. That's like when you make a bor piyagof, then you make kiddush. That's not a hefsek. When there's a birchas and mitzvah that's supposed to follow the birchas and then, and that's not a hefsek. It's like you make a hamotzvah, but it's the achilas matzah. Well, that's a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. That's exactly what you're supposed to be doing. That's in the achila. There's achilas mitzvah. So the Rosh says that forget the yeshiva, focus completely on the achila, and therefore the correct say that dvarim would be is hamotzi leishiv sukkah, and then take a bite out of your slice of pizza. What do you mean? It's very open asiyosa, and the mitzvah is going to be b'shas achila. So it's the perfect level asiyosa. It's like achilas matzah. Since the Rosh said yeshiva is a big joke, you can eat standing up also. The whole mitzvah is the achila basukah. That's the yeshiva. That's the dira basukah. So it's a perfect model of achilas matzah. And then Maamar Rutenberg still wanted to somehow, he still couldn't get out of his head the idea that the sitting down is somehow important, and he'd rather chop around the bracha on the sitting down a little bit closer rather than the achila proper. So we have three different approaches in the Rishonim as to the precise timing of this Leishiv Mesukah. According to the Rambam, it's geared towards an act of sitting. According to the Maamar Rutenberg, it's fundamentally not on the sitting, but we're going to be marviach the sitting if we can. And the Rosh is ignoring sitting the government. Everything is achilah and finished. And therefore, it makes taka more sense to do it right after the Birch Zenen and right before you do the Ma'is Achim. But that's exactly the thing the Rosh is saying. It's really on the achila. It's closer to achilas matzah. Because the Rosh is saying that the ikar mitzvah is not just I'm sitting around in a sukkah. It's not really the mitzvah. The real mitzvah is the dira besukkah. That's the achila besukkah. No, it's not. Well, according to the Rosh. According to the Rosh, what do we bring? What's the hefsek? According to the Rosh, I have no problems with the seder doing that. I make hamotzi, then I make alachilas matzah, and then I eat matzah. Because whenever you have a birchas nanin that is a bracha shal mitzvah, it's a birchas nanin of a type of an achil that's achilas shal mitzvah. So you make the bracha, then you make the birchas mitzvah, and then you eat it. That's what they did by. They do all the time. We do it by matzah. We do it here also. Why not? But the chayyur is still a little bit of a missing piece here. Because even though it's true that in the world of the Rosh, and I'm with the word quasi-Rosh, we are really focusing significantly on the achila shabbai. It's a little bit of a tweaking. Is it right before the achila? Is it 3 seconds before the achila? 1.5 seconds before the achila? But it's definitely in the achila category. L'chora, this whole issue, this whole approach of the Rosh of Maamar Rutenberg seems to be contradicted by Chazal. Because on the first night of Sukkot, or Kutzot, it's the second night, or on Shabbos Chol Hamoed, so we make Kiddush. Everybody agrees, you make a Leishiv Sukkot at the end of Kiddush, that's a Gemara. That's a Gemara, the end of Masechet Sukkot. Of course you make a Leishiv Sukkot at the end of Kiddush. So I understand, according to the Rambam, why you make a Leishiv Mesukah. You don't want to stand forever. So you want to drink your wine, so you got to make a Leishiv Mesukah then. But according to the Rosh, that the Leishiv Mesukah is really connected to the Achila Mesukah, not to really the hanging around the Sukah. That's not really the mitzvah. If it's connected to the Achila Mesukah, Achila meant the Achila Mechuyavet Mesukah. Pashas Advarim is a little bit of taking a drop of wine from the Kiddush cup. It's not even Chayiv in Sukah. It's a big machlokes to be shown. If you sit down and have a whole revius of wine, is that called a shtias keva that requires sukkah? But that's far from muska. So the chora, according to the Rosh and the Maamar Rutenberg, that Leishah B'Sukkah is as close as possible to the Maisa Achila. Whether you define as close as possible as immediately before or 2 seconds before, that's the Nekudas HaMachlokes, the Ramrut bringing the Rosh. But we're keeping the Brach as close to the model of Achila as possible. So how come that changes when there's a Kiddush? Why don't we just make Kiddush in the Sukkah, make Kiddush, sit down and drink the wine, because according to the Rosh, there's nothing wrong with sitting down. Wash your hands, and then according to Ramrut, make your Leishah first, and then according to the Rosh, Amitzi first, and Leishah. Why did the Leishah get stuck onto the Kiddush, into the back burner of the Kiddush form? Oh. So here the place can explain, you know, even the Rosh and the Rambam Rutenberg who hold that the Leishiv is really linked to the Tchilas Asuda, on Chol HaMoed, Tchilas Asuda begins with the washing, with the Hamayitzi. But on Friday night and Yontif night, the Tchilas Asuda is the Kiddush. Why is the Tchilas Maihai that the Tchilas Asuda is the Kiddush? A very simple reason. Because you're not allowed to eat until you make Kiddush. You're not allowed to drink until you make Kiddush. You can't drink water until you make Kiddush. So since there happens to be a sugya in the end of Masechet Pesachim, in every Pesachim about that Shabbat is kavas, that you're not allowed to eat a drink before you make Kiddush, so the definition of Tchilas Asuda has changed a little bit on Friday night. It's not that the basic structure has changed. The basic structure, the basic model of Leishah B'Sukkah, Bein Lefiyah Maran, Bein Lefiyah Rosh, is achiva oriented, not yeshiva on a chair oriented. The only reason why a little bit of a quirk, our hands got a little bit tied on a Friday night, a Yom Tov night, is because the halacha dictates that you can't begin the suda until you make Kiddush. So up din, the Kiddush is the Tchilas Asuda. And therefore it's appropriate to recite Leishah B'Sukkah at that point. So it's a little bit of a chap according to the Rosh and Rambam Rutenberg. Things change a little bit on Friday. According to the Rambam, nothing really changed. According to the Rambam, you have to make Leishah before you sit down. You got to sit down to drink your wine. So you're going to make a Leishah first. That the wash before. Because they want the leishah to lead right into the ikra of the bread. Okay, I hear. But the mice, I think most people don't do that. Right, so we're not so worried about that hefsek because we hold that the Leishah B'Sukkah is going on the Tchilas Asuda. So Tchilas Asuda doesn't mean necessarily the bread. On a weekday, it means the bread. On Chlamad, it means the bread. But on Yom Tov, on Friday night, it means the Kiddush problem. I can't hear. So it's not even clear that that's true. That's a big machlokes whether that's even true. Whether wine is even considered to be a kavua, or maybe wine is just like peiris. If I sit down and eat 5 apples, I don't have to eat it in the sukkah. So some Mishnayim say wine is like that. And even those who say you have to, it could be that only if you drink a ravias. When you make kiddush, you don't have to drink a ravias of wine. You drink molly mukmav is less than a ravias. So it's not clear that kiddush is forcing you to have a kavias. So if I say this is, again, so we have the base of the Chalikas Ram against the Rosh Hashanah Rutenberg. The Russian and Marut were arguing about a little bit of a nuance. Friday night, Yom Tov night, everything is different, even according to the Russian and Marutenberg. But now there's a Machlekes Acharonim about how does this play out on Kiddush in the daytime. So Kiddush in the daytime, we're going to come to the Sukkah. So what's the state of Dvarim exactly going to be? So according to the Rambam, it's obvious I'm going to stand for the Bar Priya Gofen. I'm going to make a Leishah B'Sukkah, and I'm going to sit down to drink. And then I'm going to go wash and have my meal. But according to the Rosh, what's supposed to happen? According to the Rosh, we really, really, really want Leishah B'Sukkah to be next to the bread. That's the real key. The only reason why we stuck it earlier for Kiddush was because Kiddush is for sure the Tchilas Asuda. And what made Kiddush the Tchilas Asuda? What was the Svara? Because you're not allowed to eat, you make Kiddush. So that forced us to view Kiddush as Chilas Asuda. So that happens to be a Machlokes in Rishonim, where that din that appears at the end of the Masechet Pesachim, that you're not allowed to eat before Kiddush, is that din only true for Kiddush at night? Or is it even true for Kiddush at night? We spoke a little bit about this in the in the better semester in Shuvim. Did we talk about this? There's a machlokes Harishayim, the Rambam, the Ravid, about a regular night doing sukkahs, a regular Shabbos morning. Can I eat breakfast before Kiddush? Say I finished davening. Finish most of everything. It's early in the morning. I don't feel like I'm Kiddush yet. I'm in Kiddush in 2-3 hours from now. My wife gets up. I just want to have a bowl of cereal right now. I don't want to bother making Kiddush right now. I'm not interested in a cup of grape juice right now. I want you to have a bowl of cereal. So the Rambam says you can do that. The Rambam says, no, I'll eat before Kiddush. The same way the Gemara says you can't eat on Kiddush Friday night, you can't eat Shabbos day. How did the Rambam know that? It's very simple. The Gemara says in Pesach Daf Kuvav, Zochas Yom Shabbos Tekatcho. So Chreil B'chnisosoy, Eini B'chnisoso B'yom Inayin, Tavlam Zochas Yom Shabbos Tekatcho. So it sounds to the Gemara that Kiddush by day is Mamash Shabbat Tzidera. So all the Rishonim say that's wrong. How do we know that's wrong? Because there's no Nusaf for Kiddush in the daytime. Kiddush in the daytime is a fairish Gemara. It's just a bar priya gofen. That's what's called Kiddush Rabba. It's a joke. It's a lashon tzakinor to make Kiddush in the daytime. Shouldn't feel bad. So we call it a Kiddush Rabba just to make it feel good. But it's really a Kiddush Zuta. It's really a nothing. It's a very, very insignificant Kiddush. It's just a bar priya gofen. So the Rishonim will point out that if it would have been a real deraisa, if the Gemara would have meant this drasha, if a real drasha, there would have been much more to Kiddush than just a bar priya gofen. So obviously Kiddush in the daytime is only a din derabban. So the Rambam says, "Aval b'chein, called the Tikkun Rabbani, came derais a Tikkun." That Chazal instituted Kiddush in the daytime, following all the dinim of Kiddush at night. So just as Kiddush at night, there's an issa to eat before. That's not an issa deraisa, but the same way Chazal instituted that Kiddush at night requires that you can't eat before it. So to Kiddush in the daytime, you can't eat before it as well. And the Rambam disagrees. Right? Says, "Ein mal lachadash chumus deraisum derabbanim yatzbenu." No Gemara like that. All the Gemaras in the end of Pesach that talk about not eating before Kiddush, I presume we talk about Kiddush on Friday night. Kiddush in the daytime, it's a joke. Kiddush in the daytime, it's a Kiddush Zuta, it's a nothing. It's a bar priya gofen. I can't eat. I'll eat my cereal, then I'll make Kiddush an hour later. So we're going to ramen the Rebbe. We said over in the Dennis Mestim Shurim, the Rav said that the reason why Klal Yisrael is so makel to rely on this very, very funny Kiddush Bacham Suta, people go to Kiddushes Shabbos morning. Right? In the old days, people used to go to Kiddushes. The Heir of the Kiddushes will come back to us. Some places they've come back already, but the Kiddush should be around the corner soon. So Rabbi say, you come to a Kiddush, you make a prayer gofen, and you have a piece of cake, you have some mezonos, some cookies or something, and that's it. Who said that's good? That's called Kiddush Machom Tzudu Vishtei. That's a big machlokes that we share. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a tradition from the Ga'onim who said that that's also called Kiddush Machom Tzudu. You don't have to mamash wash. And Taisus disagrees, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And the Vunagon said, the Ikra din is really like the other Rishonim against the Goyim, against the Shulchan Aruch. So why are we so makel, so lenient that we go to Kiddushes on Shabbos morning? What's it based on? So the simple pshat is, we're making, we hold like the Goyim and finish, we hold like the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rav said, no, it's a svek svek. We're not convinced that the Goyim are right, we're not convinced the Shulchan Aruch is right. The reason why we can sanction eating at a Kiddush in the Shabbos morning without washing is you have a double diet, it's svek svek. Maybe the Shulchan Aruch is right. Maybe the Goyim are right that it's good enough. V'yimtum shalom, but that's not so good, and you're not yotzei. Maybe the Rav is right, and what? You're allowed to eat before Kiddush in the daytime. So I ate the whole 6 course of Kiddush before I was yotzei Kiddush. My nafka media to the Rav Shtekel Torah, the Rav's limud on the Minigo Olam. The Minigo Olam is clearly, there's no question there are shuls having Kiddushes. So conventional wisdom is people having Kiddushes because they follow the Shulchan Aruch and finish. So the Rav gives a knesh, and the Shtekel Torah, no, we're not really following the Shulchan Aruch, we're only following the Shulchan Aruch, but you're harayvid. My nafkamina, it's a huge nafkamina, according to the Rav. What do you have to do when you get home? You have to make Kiddush again. According to pure Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to make Kiddush again. Unless your wife didn't have Kiddush, your kid didn't have, everyone came to shul on her Kiddush, there's absolutely no reason to repeat the Kiddush according to the Mechaber. And the Rav said, no, you should repeat the Kiddush, because if we're not sure that you ate the Kiddush the first time, the only reason why we let you go ahead and grab your cookies before making Kiddush is because maybe the Ravid's right. There's a sniff we're making on the Ravid. So now, the Ravid didn't say you were Yaitse. The Ravid said you were allowed to eat before, but now you still machoy, but the Rabban to make Kiddush. That was the source for the Rav's minig, that even if everybody in the family heard Kiddush by the Kiddush, but he should still make Kiddush nachamol in the house. Not because Kiddush in the house is a chavis ha-bayis. That's a little too longish. It's a chavis ha-gavra, but you want your to the chavis ha-gavra. Anyway, back to the story. So, Machalik the Raman, you're allowed to eat l'maisa, regular Shabbos, regular Yom Tov morning, you're allowed to eat l'chadchir before Kiddush. So, that Ravid is going to come back and haunt us now. That Ravid is going to cause trouble in the Brach of Leisha B'Sukkah. Because according to the Russian Maram Rutenberg, Most of us do not follow the Rambam in this one. We follow the Rosh and the Rambam Wurttemberg. Most of us follow the Rosh, not the Rambam Wurttemberg even. We follow the Rosh. It says that Kiddush really has got to be linked to the bread. That's the only place. I'm sorry, Leish V'Sukkah has got to be linked to the bread. Leish V'Sukkah doesn't belong anywhere else except near the bread. The only reason why on Friday night, Yom Tov night, there's a quirk, we're stuck with the Gemara. The Gemara says, Nebuch, you make Kiddush before, you make Leish V'Sukkah at the end of Kiddush, before, 20 minutes before the bread, is only because of this quirk, because, well, Kiddush on Friday night is Tchilas HaSeudah. Kiddush on Friday night is Tchilas HaSeudah. Really? It's a Tchilas HaSeudah by Yom also? According to the Rav, it ain't. According to the Rav, it's not true. Maybe according to the Rambam, it's true, but not according to the Rav. So we're not convinced how we pass it. Maybe the Rav is right. Maybe the whole Kiddush of the daytime is not Tchilas HaSeudah. If it's not Tchilas HaSeudah, so why do you make a Leish V'Sukkah there? You should save the Leish V'Sukkah for the Achila. Save it for 10 minutes later so you make a Baitzi. That's what there are some who have that practice. There are some who won't say Leish V'Sukkah on Kiddush in the daytime. They'll wait until Abaytzi. There's another tzad, another tzad l'chalim. Some Achronim at Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Sukkah Kol, some Achronim said the following chal. This idea of making a bar priya gofen and then not drinking the wine right away and sticking in a leish v'sukkah in the middle is something that we're not really comfortable with. This is not something that we really like. This is not optimal. You know why we look the other way and do it? Why Chazal looked the other way and did it? Chazal said to do it that way. Chazal said make a bar priya gofen. Then you make a leishim with a kiddush. Yom Tov night kiddush. The Gemara says in Sukkah, you make bar priya gofen, and then you make kiddush, and then you make a leishim with Sukkah. You know why Chazal swallowed that? Because b'lav hochi, you're being mafsik between the bar priya gofen and the drinking of the wine. What are you being mafsik with? Hashem b'achar b'anim yikomo with the nuscha kiddush. So b'lav hochi, you're being mesad the brachas after the bar priya gofen. So you throw another bracha for good luck. Asma, what's so terrible? So therefore Chazal said, they look the other way. It makes sense. It's a good tesvara. Why not? We'll stick in. It's a nice idea, this idea of stick the Leish V'Sukkah close to Kiddush because that's a Tchilas HaSeudah. And you have very, very little to lose because anyway you're being massive. But Kiddush in the daytime, you're losing an awful lot. You know what you're losing? You are, for almost no good legitimate reason, you're being massive with the bar priya gofen and drinking the wine. What's the rush? What's the rush to make the Leish V'Sukkah now? Because of that strange svaris, that Tchilas HaSeudah, that's cute. It's a nice reason. It's a nice drush. When anyway you have nothing to lose because b'lav hachi you were already mafsik. But to create a new hafsik for no reason whatsoever, it really doesn't make much sense. It's much better to stick the Leish V'Sukkah after the hamotzi, where l'maisa really belongs anyway according to the Shitas HaRosh. So we have two good svaras in Gedalia Acharonim. Why maybe it's better to, but on Kiddush, maybe it's better Kiddush in the daytime to move that Leish V'Sukkah back to Hamotzi and get it away from the Bar Priya Gofen. Because we're not so sure that the svar Tchilas HaSeudah is so geshmak, and we're not so sure that it's so necessary to do it in the first place. So maybe. It would make sense to move that bracha. So there are some who have that practice. I think most people don't. Let's get a show of hands who could remember from last sukkahs. Who here, when they come to the sukkah and they make a bar priya gofen and they're about to wash, where do they put the leish v'sukkah? Who here puts the leish v'sukkah after the bar priya gofen? Who here wakes the hamotzi? Someone. Okay. So, yesh v'yesh. Two svaras in the Gedolei Acharonim to defend the switch. And the Bnei Goyim is... We're not so worried about it. We all this Nishkin Hefzik anyway. What's the difference? And the Tchilas HaSeudah Svar. No. Nishkin Felchi. Not the end of the world. Yeah. Some Acharonim add on a Kenech and say, what about if you're having a Kiddush in the Sukkah in the morning, Yom Tov Shabbos morning? You're not washing right away. You're making Bar Priya Gofen, having a couple of cookies to eat. Where does the Leish V'Sukkah belong there? So, L'chor, it's the same Shaila, right? So those, again, those who are comfortable making the Leishah B'Sukkah, you know, after the Bar Priya Gofa and weren't too concerned with those two Ha'aras of the Yigdal Acharenim. So fine. So you know, what's the difference whether you're making Hamaitzi or you're making Mezayis? It's all the same thing. But those who, like Mr. Alter son-in-law, who likes sticking the bracha closer to the Hamotzi, maybe even they, I'm not going to say what your son-in-law does, maybe even they would agree, if they're only having cookies and cake, then the Bar Priya Gofa, the Leishah B'Sukkah belongs closer to the Bar Priya Gofa. My eye. What's the smell of the challah? So Mishabur quotes the following from the Acharonim, that if you're just making Kiddush on cookies, we're not even sure you have to really make a Leishah B'Sukkah in the first place. I'll tell you why. How much do you have to eat in order to be chayav in Sukkah? Remember we said the Mishnah says that's be achilas keva. How much is achilas keva? So the Gemara says more than a kebetz of bread is achilas keva. So the Gemara also says in Yuma, at least when the Rosh read the Gemara, that you have to eat mezonos in the Sukkah. So the Magen Avraham writes, how much mezonos do you have to eat in the Sukkah to be chayav? So the Magen Avraham says the same as bread. Again, put two and two together. The Gemara says bread has to be in the Sukkah. The Gemara says mezonos have to be in the Sukkah. The shear for bread is kebetzah. So Magen Avraham said, in the stomach, the shear for mezonos is also kebetzah. And other Acharonim said it's not true. But that leap of faith is not correct. By bread, which is the highest level of kviyas, even a mere kebetzah is enough for kviyas to be chayav in Sukkah min haTorah. By mezonos, you need something a little bit more. What do you need? So either there has to mamish be your meal. You're sitting there having a nizah bowl or three bowls of pasta, six bowls of cereal. That's a kviyah suda. Or, not kviyah for benching, because it's not even possible for kistin, but it's enough for kviyah for yeshiva sukkah. Or maybe if you get a whole chepet together, you sit down, have a little shmooze, a little shiat together, a little kumzit together. That's called the kviyah biyachah. But if you just sit down and have three cookies, so it could be that there's no yeshiva sukkah b'chlam. Unless you're having those three cookies for what purpose? To be kaveh suda. Why? Because you want it to be kiddush b'makom suda. So there are different methods, according to non-Magen Avraham people, there are different methods that are necessary from context to transform three little cookies into a yeshiva b'sukkah. So one method is eating it as your meal, or inviting a bunch of friends, or having it as kiddush b'makom suda. So according to this, Mishabur quotes Acharonim say, your cookies per se are not really a Leishah B'Sukkah. What made them a Leishah B'Sukkah was what? Was the fact that they're following your Bar Priya Gofa, they're following your Kiddush. So therefore, the more correct place to place the Leishah B'Sukkah would be at the back at the beginning, because it's the Kiddush, that's the Tchilas Asuda, so to speak, for practical purposes. So again, for those who anyway make a Leishah B'Sukkah, even before Kiddush on Challah rolls in the morning, so the cooking issue is a mood issue. But Mr. Alter, your son-in-law, you have to remember what he does. What does he do? But does he ever make Kiddush in Amazonas? Oh, he doesn't do that because he's a Grunik, a Maaseh Rav, so he wouldn't even be, it's like a different religion, he would never be Mitzchayes to that Shah. I'm sorry for insulting him. Okay. So everybody say back to our story. So we have a lot of nuances here, a lot of complications. This bracha is not a simple bracha. And this is a funny one, because this is the bracha that the Gemara didn't even say a word about. The Gemara said the Amitah's lulav is a gevaldika gefarlacha bracha. You can't figure out where you're coming and going on to this lulav. Leishah B'Sukkah, that's easy. The Gemara doesn't even talk about it. It's so poshut. So poshut. The Rambam had one version, the Rosh had another version. Within the Rosh, the Rambam wrote the Brug, and the Rosh parted ways. Then you have to figure out why Friday night, you have to like Kiddush is different. Then you have to figure out whether that svar applies to Kiddush by day. Then within Kiddush by day, you have to be mechalik between Hamayitzim and Zaynus. Far from simple. Rabbi say, one last akuda in this sugya is that which the Rosh was assuming, which many of us follow. The Rosh is assuming that there's nothing terrible about sitting down before making Leishah B'Sukkah. Because Leishah B'Sukkah is really food oriented. So this is a throwback to Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam had a famous comment. Rabbi Natam is quoted by the Rishonim saying that Leishah B'Sukkah is so food oriented that even other kinds of activities, they actually, the halacha requires of you to do in the sukkah. Don't get a leishah b'sukkah. What is that other activity that chayt l'yav must be in the sukkah? Sleeping. Again, whether one lamaisa sleeps in the sukkah in America as a single person, a married person, that's already a loaded question. You know, are there any pturim? If your wife's not interested in sleeping outside, if it's too cold, those are already whole discussions in Gedalia Rishonim, reading the Ramah, what the parameters of sleeping in the sukkah are. But the Ikaron, of course, everyone agrees it's a chiyuv gomer min hatorah to sleep in the sukkah. That's not negotiable. Of course, it's a chiyuv gomer to sleep in the sukkah, unless there's some legitimate patur. So comes a bit of time and says, when you go to sleep at night, you should make a leisha b'sukkah. You're about to be mukham zubat, you have to be a leisha b'sukkah. You should make a bracha. So many times you can't make a bracha. Why can't you make a bracha? So two reasons they're given in Rishon why can't make a bracha. One is, you made a bracha in the achila already. The bracha in the achila taught her everything. It's all part of the same yeshiva b'sukkah. And the Rishonim quotes from Yehuda HaChosid, but a different reason. He said, how are you going to make a bracha? Asher kiddushanu mitzvah yisav mitzvah naleishu b'sukkah. You're going to close your eyes, you're going to start counting sheep, and you're going to realize you have insomnia, you can't fall asleep. I can't fall asleep. I'm so psyched up to go to sleep. I can't fall asleep. It's a bracha lebatol. Remember, we spoke a little bit about this. Making brachas that are not completely biyad charedu. Remember we spoke about this? The guy standing under the chuppah afraid the girl's going to walk away. Didn't we talk about this? The moil, like the father's going to make lachnis, but then the moil's going to pack out. So we had that svar already floating around, that brachas that are not quite, that are a little bit can evade me, I'm not totally in control, we're very, very weary about. So that's what you said, you can make a bracha of Lishu B'sukkah on sleeping, you may not fall asleep. Oh, wait. So some achronim wanted to be medayek. Chazal instituted a mapil. So what do you see, Klor? That according to Rabbi Yochosid, hamapil is not on sleeping. It's not a bracha levatola. It's a bracha darker shaloylam. The same way we make a bracha of hanosan sech levin in the morning, even though I didn't have the chickens or any of the roosters last time I made my year. So I'm not going to make a shanosan sech levin in Bergenfield. So the answer is to make a bracha on hanosan shaloylam, even though I personally didn't hear it. So the bracha of a mapil is when you're getting ready to go to sleep, you make a bracha of a mapil. If you personally succeeded in sleeping great, if not, not. If that's the pshat in a mapil, according to Vida Chosid, that would be a gevalt kula. Means, why can't I talk if it's in a mapil? Vishteita, lach mashin, you can't talk about a mapil. Every little kid knows you can't talk about a mapil. Vishteita, lach. If Rishonim doesn't say it, necessarily. So, I didn't say you should or should not talk after a mapil, but according to Vida Chosid, so it would be hard to believe that you're not allowed to talk because of the whole, clearly from a sheet to that super, clearly indicating that that can't be what a mapil is all about. I don't remember if it's Vida Chosid or the other Rabbi Yehuda. Is this Baal Tais Rabbi Yehuda? I forgot now whether it's Vida Chosid who said this or the other Rabbi Yehuda. I don't remember. But Achor Ponim, we have two different viewers in the Rishonim why our practice is not to make a leisha b'sukkah on sleeping. Either because it's part of this whole Achila saga, this whole story, that's part of the bottle to the Achila, that's the Ika Bracha, or because of a quirk reason, because we're afraid you're not going to fall asleep. How big enough community between the two? What's that huge enough community between the two? What if, let's say I ate in the sukkah, my meal at night, and then I left the sukkah. I went to sukkah Beis Yosef for 6 hours, I come back 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm exhausted, I want to go to sleep. So if you say that my leishev was still intact, that's covered by, it's still covered. That was 6 hours ago. I left the six hours ago. The bracha's not intact anymore. Because if you say like Vida Chosid, that you can't make a bracha and shein to finish, it's not the yarcha to fall asleep. So then it's not the yarcha to fall asleep. So you can't make a bracha. So it's not even clear what the source of aminig is. That's why many places can say, if you have such a situation where there was a significant hefsek between yesuda and you're going to sleep, it would be probably more appropriate to take some kind of a food that's mamish chayv and sukkah. Figure out what that is. Figure out what and how much that is. You know what we have? Let's say today to make the suffix brachas to make another leisha b'sukkah. So I come upon him again. This is the easy part of the sugya. The second half of the sugya about nichlas leisha b'sukkah, mevarach leisha b'sukkah. So far from simple. Hope we met Hashem tomorrow. So we'll start mamish the next sugya, which is the sugya of shechiyon. Right, you guys, get started a little bit. Okay, start a little bit into the brachas of shechiyon. Hope we met Hashem tomorrow. Pick up. Okay, good. Everyone posted tomorrow. Good. It worked out, right?
Yeah. Okay.